Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hey friends in the Los Angeles area, we just want to remind you we will be doing a live taping at the Nerd Melt Showroom in Los Angeles on February 2nd. For tickets and more information, please visit nerdmeltla.com.
Today we are so excited to have two guests with us on our show.
Two?
Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher,
whoa,
who are brilliant comedians, badass feminists, wives to each other. You may know them from a wonderful show called Take My Wife. You may know them from a podcast called Put Your Hands Together.
Mm-hmm.
You may know them just because they're the best. And we're going to sit down with them and talk to them for the whole episode today.
We are so pumped. Welcome to Buffering the Vampire Slayer, a podcast where we're watching and discussing every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer one by one. I am Jenny Owen Youngs.
And I'm Kristen Russo. And this week we're talking about season 2, episode 2, Some Assembly Required. Stay tuned at the end of this podcast every week for an original song written by us recapping the Buffy episode that we're discussing.
Some Assembly Required was written by Ty King, directed by Bruce Seth Green, who is not Seth Green, he's a whole other person, and originally aired on September 22nd, 1997.
This is the one where two science club nerds use body parts to create the, quote, perfect girlfriend for a teenager who has been brought back from the dead. I want everyone to know that on the IMDb description, there's a tiny image, and the tiny image is the picture from the inside of the locker that's like all of the cutout pieces of magazine body. That's the image for this episode.
So. If a ransom note was just a picture of a girl.
Yes, yes, exactly. So there's a small dog sitting next to me with his sweet little head lying on my lap.
What's that dog wearing?
A very beautiful Christmas sweater. A very nice Christmas sweater.
Who'd that dog come with?
The dog, right, did not come alone.
He can't drive.
This dog's name is Murph. Oh my gosh, he knows I'm talking about him. He's making little movements like he knows.
Wow.
And Murph's parents are Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher, who are here with us.
Yay.
Hooray. Yay.
You guys, this is so fun already.
He did drive us here, though. He can't drive alone.
Does he have his permit?
Yeah.
Is that the deal?
Oh, no. Imagine a little license with Murph's picture on it.
Also, he'd have to have such a small car. It's hard to figure out how we would fit in it.
Yeah.
I think maybe we're being towed behind.
Yeah.
Like, it's a small car, but it's heavy, so it's got, like, good traction. And
right.
You can pull.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, a decent.
It's the tugboat of car. Pulling the two of you. Just in two seats. Oh, well, thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
You know, it's fun to have excuses to hang out with pals.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is great. We almost didn't make it to the taping of the actual episode because we just wanted to talk all night long.
Yeah. And also there was a hat on a dog situation.
Yeah. Check my Instagram for that.
Instagram. I took the picture.
I took one
it's
too. I posted it faster.
I know.
Like a
but
mirror.
You already posted it?
Oh, yeah.
Rhea!
Cameron!
I am so upset. I'm actually, like, genuinely upset and probably...
It's a big problem.
You know, we understand.
You can get another angle. You have more followers than I do.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what? Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Can I tell you something, Cameron?
Yes.
I often find that posting second is better. Although Instagram's new algorithm is messing things up, but I find posting second is better because people see it first.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
I get it.
Because it's. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're just copying me, Rhea.
Right.
In the future.
As always.
In the future.
So this is really fun because, Cameron, you are familiar with the series.
Yes, I am.
However, Rhea This is the first episode you've ever sat and watched.
It's honestly the first time I've ever, from my recollection, that right. I've sat down and watched an entire episode. I am aware of it. I know the characters in it. Mm-hmm. I've heard synopsis of many episodes. I've just literally never watched it.
I was going to say from
No,
Cameron.
From multiple people. Oh. You and other people.
Mm-hmm.
My,
I'm just in a line of people.
No, my maid of honor is a huge Buffy fan. She was a huge Buffy fan. In fact, she lent me the box set and was like, look, you should watch this. You're probably not going to, but now you have no excuse. And then it just sat on my shelf until I went away to grad school.
Well, this show was really important to me when I was in high school, even though it was really scary to me and I could barely watch it. I still watched it because I like
scared of everything.
Special effects a lot. And there's really cool special effects makeup in this. And everything is practical effects because, like, computer animation didn't really exist
in 1997.
Right.
And that's really cool. I also love stunting. You know, people that are stunting around and doing stunts.
Stunting around.
There's a lot of cool stunts in this television show. And there's also a lot of queerness throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
All characters, all situations. I think it's one of the first shows on television that really just showed, like, non-traditional relationships, whatever they might be.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of awesome to me.
So you watched this in high school, but you haven't seen it since.
I haven't seen it since. And I will say, watching this one episode, like, it's so weird that they are children. Like, it's so weird that they are young people.
Correct, because the last time you watched it, they were you.
They were me / older, because they're playing high schoolers. And I was really, you know, in 1997, I was a freshman in high school. September, I probably wasn't watching this because I was going to high school for the first time and losing my mind, and so therefore not watching Buffy
right.
Vampire Slayer for like a minute while I lost my mind.
Why were you losing your mind in high school? Was your school built on top of a mystical convergence of evil?
Yeah, what was going on was that there was like all these people kind of escaping, and they had just like different sorts of heads, and sometimes like it's like their brow would get very heavy at a certain time, and then like a sort of a tooth would come out. No, for different reasons. I think just that I was a small gay person, and I went to a really conservative Catholic high school, and I was just trying to figure out how to do anything.
Did you feel like you had a secret identity that you couldn't share with your peers?
Absolutely. Well, I didn't know I was gay, but I did know that, like, this show really meant something to me. I would watch this show with my boyfriend. My boyfriend would watch this show with me. He was very patient boyfriend.
Yes.
This episode is also about, like, a high school football player. My boyfriend
Which was
a high
your
school
boyfriend?
Football player. And I did turn to Rhea during the middle of the episode when there's like a mom who rattles off the stats of the football player. I'll tell you when we get to that part in the podcast, but his stats are like not that great.
Wow.
So funny. What a perfect overlap of stuff that I'm not into or wasn't into in this episode, because you were like very into the show. I wasn't into it, not on purpose. And then I hated football. So
why?
There you go.
Like, were you more into other sports at the time?
When I was in high school, I was like anti-sports. I was really into basketball, like playing it. And then I quit the team because for whatever reason, I was getting benched and I thought I was a better player on the team. And so then I decided to go all in skateboarding and was like punk rock and
the other
artist.
Football.
And
here's what's going on. Exactly. Rhea was like a bad boy, and I was the high school mascot. We were exactly opposite people.
Wow.
But I was really
like,
nice.
I didn't go to any games until my senior year, because then I felt like, yeah, I should maybe go to this. But I just like wasn't into it at all.
And I planned every single dance.
Also, were you actually the high school mascot?
Yeah, I was.
Right. Yes.
Because you said it, but I feel
what?
Like if they're listening, like
right.
people listening might think
you're
yeah,
no, I was a
like
red bird. I'm not being funny. I was a red wing, which is a red bird. But
wow,
I mean,
wow,
I also
wow.
like played, I was a 3-sport athlete. And I also like decorated the gym for all the school dances. And it was like on student government.
And
I was the president of the
gym.
Spirit Club.
That's weird.
Which means that I ran the flag back and forth when my boyfriend scored a touchdown. Like, you know the person that runs a giant flag?
So wait, you ran
yeah,
the
right.
flag
no.
and you were the mascot? Those
well,
are two different
the
jobs.
Mascot didn't always travel to away games.
So then you did because
so then I was
you
just
had
myself.
The flag?
That's
oh my
right.
God.
But how could you be a three-sport athlete and also be the mascot? Like, did you have to?
You're gay and you're not having any sex. You have so much time. You have so much time.
But, like, what is the actual time management of that? Does that mean the mascot just doesn't go to women's sports? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that would be silly.
Wait, Jenny,
what are you talking about?
Yes, Jenny, that's a great question. No, it's only for men's basketball.
Only for real sports.
And football.
Okay.
The sports that people care about.
Women's basketball, which I played, has no mascot.
Wow. No.
And sometimes the games are at 5 p.m.
That's totally true.
Wow. Great
on
job.
On a Tuesday.
Yeah, so I was...
You know what it sounds like we're talking about? The patriarchy.
It sounds like we're talking about the patriarchy.
Yes. Oh, I had it marked for later.
And it happened so easily.
Yeah. Well, also, so I was a swimmer during football season, right? Because they both had
and
it
And I don't
fall.
Know how to swim.
And... Swim. That's true. She doesn't.
I don't. Well, I thought
this
I did.
They really are like safe. The inverses of each other.
I thought I did, really, and then opposite. We went on vacation with each other, which is, in all honesty, the first time I ever went on vacation. And we went to Palm Springs, and we got in the pool, and Cameron was like, "Oh, sweetie, you don't know how to swim," and I was like, "I thought I did." No. I mean, I can like. I don't even know if you could call it a dog paddle.
But you can like stay afloat.
Kind of, yeah. I don't really like the deep end because I could drown.
Well, not
and
with
then
Cameron
one time,
around.
Cameron. No, but
I was a lifeguard.
Yeah,
I started drowning in Hawaii, and she was like, "Oh, stop! You're not drowning." And I was like, "That's kind of the definition of drowning is I can't stop it."
After the fact, she was like, "Remember when I just drowned?" And I said, "You didn't. You didn't
if you drowned,
because,
you'd be dead.
Yeah, right. We wouldn't be having this conversation."
That's not the
and
bone
she
you
said,
were picking.
I was saying, "I'm drowning. I'm drowning," and I said. Right, which means you're not drowning. Because if you're drowning,
you're not saying.
Sorry, I meant to call out. I'm pre-drowning. Yeah. I'm pre-drowning. I apologize. I didn't have the presence of mind because I thought I was about to die. Because I cannot swim.
Anyway,
I'm glad you survived.
Me too. Glad I lived to tell the tale.
So Rhea, what are your thoughts on your first episode of
on
Buffy
the
Vampire? Yeah, I mean, how did it feel for you? Knowing nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was really funny, and it was really enjoyable seeing all those clothes again. Man, were those some billowy shirts, and like unbuttoned, like so far down, top three buttons down.
Angel went real far down with his buttons in this episode. Also, I have a costume note for later in the episode, but since we're talking about dress, I'll bring it up now. When they go to the football game, I don't know if anybody else noticed Jenny Callender's belt.
Oh, yeah.
It was very special. I actually drew a picture in my notes.
Oh, I would like to see the picture.
Lest I forget.
Yeah. It also looks like something you could maybe hang a plant with. You know? Yeah. That hangs from the ceiling in the 70s.
You know what,
my
though?
Picture.
Seeing, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Circles and lines.
Well, Rhea, it was fun to watch you laugh at it. And I remembered, because before we watched, I was like, it's really funny. Like, it is kind of a comedy. And I was realizing that, like, before Gilmore Girls... This is the show that everybody talked about in terms of its writing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it really set the stage for that. What was before this show? Can you guys think of it? What would it have been before this?
Like, what
Friends?
Was the big...
No, Friends because was... Friends doesn't really do that thing. The thing that this show does so well that then people loved about Gilmore Girls is that half the jokes are not delivered with any sort of weight, and you're just supposed to, like... kind of keep moving.
Right.
And
yeah, they're almost like the transition.
It was fun to watch
things.
That again. Yeah. Yeah.
The joke. It's like they say the joke and then they're like anyway, on to the next.
The camera
point.
Doesn't even stay on them or whatever.
Yeah.
It's
when,
cool.
What year did West Wing start?
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. That's similar. Yeah.
Walk and Talk.
I have no idea when that started.
I'm going to stand by my friend's statement that it's like an ensemble of a bunch of people talking to each other, even though they're just in one room. It was faster than a traditional multicam. Okay.
Oh, yeah, faster than a traditional multicam. Totally. I agree. Hard agree.
You guys know more about making TV than we do.
I couldn't stop looking at the lighting. There was, like, something very early on. I was like, her whole face is in shadow. Like, all she has to do is lean forward.
Yo, there's a
I
lot
I can't stop looking
of
at
that.
Lighting.
Like, there's... It's definitely, like, in every episode.
Yeah.
And inconsistent. Like, nobody is getting, I don't know... Maybe you would know. I mean, things are just not consistently lit.
Yeah.
People are not consistently lit. People are in shadow. also, this is deliberate. That doesn't feel as deliberate, but like,
yeah,
a lot of the time when you see Angel, it's through light that's coming through Venetian or mini blinds, horizontal, yeah, like tiny blinds. There's a lot of that.
Someone wrote into us, actually, we never said this on the show, but somebody wrote into us because we had a whole thing where we talked about that angel lighting that was just like right, slatted lines of light, and somebody wrote in and said, I think maybe that lighting decision was made because it shows the lightness and the dark that is Angel.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
So
yeah.
Oh, that's they're really symbolic. Serious.
There you go.
Plus, it's flattering on everybody. You know what I mean? It's good luck.
Slatted lighting.
It's good luck. It's flattering on everybody.
On everybody.
Well, they also did so much. They did so many night shoots on this show. I don't know. They're not in a soundstage. Can I ask you a question? Are they in a soundstage that looks like a cemetery and it's also.
It's very possible.
Is that what you think?
Yes.
I agree with you too. They built a soundstage cemetery.
So everything, nothing is practically shot. Nothing is like,
I mean, the football thing was.
Yeah. And externals of the high school, that's Torrance High School.
Yeah. Mm. So they would have to do those night shoots. But I feel like, yeah.
They must have had a crazy schedule. Anyway, we can keep going. But it's crazy to watch this show. This is like a really
we can't stop like thinking
operation.
About, oh my God, how did they block
how did they
shoot
make
this?
It?
Well, that's what, yeah. At one point, I think you, Rhea, were like, well, it must have cost so much to shoot this scene. Like, and I was like,
do you know how much those extras cost? I mean, and to make them play football? Like, that's a lot of insurance to have those guys playing football.
It was cool to like have your mind, though, in that sense, because I just watched it and I'm like, right, and now they play football. Like, it doesn't occur to me that that would cost a lot of money or. But Cameron, this episode scared you. I'm sorry that you got scared.
Well, I just found it was real spooky and creepy.
She gets scared by like piano music.
I was. So. That's true. I got less scared later, but my number one biggest fear is in television and film is when something comes up behind, and that happened two very solid times in this show where it's like super slow. Like a slow.
And it does like the camera coming up behind where you know something is.
Do not like it. It's super spooked.
The opening scene of this, we learn that that Buffy knows how to yo-yo, which I felt was an important point that I wanted to bring
up. It also was like, oh, that's what we did when we didn't have phones.
Right. Yeah.
We yo-yoed on gravestones.
Did you yo-yo?
Yeah, for sure.
Could you like actually yo-yo?
I could do like a few tricks.
Wow.
Could
what
you
about
do Cat's Cradle or what?
Cat's Cradle around the world.
Oh, I can stop. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I always thought I could walk the dog, but I was just throwing it on the ground.
I was excited if I got it to come back up.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That was my yo-yoing abilities in high school. I did have a yo. I mean, people fucking had yo-yos.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Just keep it in your backpack
like,
with
you'd
your hacky
buy
sack.
It and be like, is this going to be the thing that people remember me for? No, that's not it. Just like headphones, you know,
harmonica.
Like headphones used to be a very unique characteristic, but now like everybody wears them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I also will say that in that opening shot, I was immediately struck by Sarah Michelle Gellar's bod, because she has a really short skirt on.
She
looks like a human woman. I just want to point out that sometimes when you watch television now, some bods have gotten so toned up that some teens look like they're 35 and have really specific personal training regimens. And it's like really interesting to see her in this show because she obviously is like beautiful and a TV star, but she also looked kind of normal.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the characters in the show, I mean, I think in the 90s, you could be more of a person on television.
Mm-hmm. It's cool to see it.
Yeah.
Like Willow is like standing sideways at one point and you realize that she's like pretty flat chested because she's like a really young woman who, and like, oh, they didn't make her wear a really bonkers
a
bra.
Set
like they didn't make her wear anything.
Right,
here, put on these boots.
So I don't know. Those are just
you guys,
very
is that
small.
A thing that happens here in Hollywood?
Well, I feel like, I don't know, but I feel like right when you're watching TV, right, do people look like that to you guys now?
What? Sorry, Murph moved.
No.
Do people look like that to you guys
I
now?
So.
I feel like it's
no,
a deliberate
on TV,
choice.
Absolutely not.
It's like you could find it on cool cable shows or streaming shows, there's different types of bodies.
And
that's very like leaned into.
Right.
But on like a network show. Anyway.
Also, I had a note about her skirt because she's doing serious fighting.
Yeah, and she has platform sandals on.
Those sandals are highly like impractical for slaying. 2-inch
platform sandals.
But she never really cares about that, guys.
She doesn't even have to think about it.
No.
She does pull her, like, I feel like she pulls her, like, or checks her skirt after she falls into the open grave to make sure she has landed safely.
Just to check it off our list, because last week we were like, hey, there's new stuff in the credits.
Oh, yeah.
This is the moment when she pops her head out of the grave comes from episode 2. We just saw it for the first time.
Oh, it's pretty great.
And then we go to the credits.
You don't want to talk about how Buffy and Angel got in a big fight about Xander?
Oh, yeah, right. Well,
I know you're like over this, but I just, at least for later resolution.
We're like halfway done writing the song, and Jenny keeps trying to put lyrics in about like Angel and Buffy and like their tension. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's not a thing.
I'm invested in their tension as well. But
thank you.
Also, I will say... this dang show and every other dang show that had like set so many high school characters, I know Angel's not high school age, had so many characters that are like mad at each other for talking to other people. Is that something that actually happens to anybody?
What happened in the last episode
they
actually
dance up on each other?
So Buffy died.
Yes.
No, and then that was two episodes ago.
Right. And then she like got CPR'd and came back to life and defeated the master, who was like the head vampire in last season. And she came back after summer vacation with a lot of unresolved trauma. And she was acting out a lot. And one of the ways that she acted out was to do a very sexy dance with Xander at the Bronze while Chibo Mato played Sugar Water. And Angel looked on in a huff.
Yeah. So we're just coming off of the huff.
Okay.
So like nothing happened except for sexy dancing?
Nothing happened.
Yeah,
just
but like
sexy
deliberately
dance.
Cruel sexy dancing?
I think that Angel needs to take a deep breath.
Well, he's 241.
I think maybe just, I don't know, pull her aside and have like a real conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
If some like just fun sexy dancing pisses you off, what have you been doing for 240?
Like,
what other experiences have you had that can still bother you?
The bulk of his experiences have been like pillaging, like a lot of slaughter. And then after he was re-ensouled, he's been like sort of working through his own trauma, recovering from the fact that he now cares about every life that he took.
He has some feelings about it. I know.
This is the first time we actually learned how old Angel was, right?
I think so. I think
241.
Question. How do you talk to an angel?
Wow, that's a 90s crossover.
Yeah.
That's a crossover episode.
Oh, the 90210 High School also
is that
Torrance
high school.
No way.
Yes. Yeah.
Way. I thought it felt similar. It felt familiar.
Same exact high school. I have written down a thing that I don't remember what I wrote it for, but I just wrote Jenny Calendar. Oh, flirt practice. We see Giles.
Yeah. Giles is practicing on a chair.
Flirting. I didn't understand.
It's all very Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm. I was going to make the same joke, but I waited for you to make it.
Oh, that was so nice. Unlike
you can make it later and people will see it in their feed
first.
That's
right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But I just wonder, because I know that Giles is like not just the teacher. He's the watcher and they have like a deeper relationship with him or whatever. But I was very confused about the way that Buffy and Xander and all of them interacted with Giles having a crush on Jenny Calendar. I just feel like I would never have a conversation like that with my teacher or my watcher. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or my watcher.
Never had that conversation with somebody that's older than me.
Yeah.
So, but is the part of their dynamic supposed to be that like he's in charge of all the practical stuff, but he doesn't have like any of the intangibles, right? Like that's what the Scooby Gang does, is that they are like, this is other stuff that you should care about, like food and
food,
washing
computer
your body.
Hacking,
like,
yeah, washing like, your body.
Like, I don't. Nobody's washed their body.
No,
the
lessons we learned from really... Scooby Doo. Hey, gang! Don't forget to take a shower.
So that's why they're comfortable doing it. Because
they're spending the all their time together.
I know. I still felt embarrassed about the whole thing. I was like, you guys, well,
was it because the advice was bad?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it was because Giles was so embarrassed, who I love, by the way. I love Giles's crush on Jenny Callender. I really do.
Yeah, yeah, peak Giles. So
fumbly.
Fop it.
Hopping all Giles. The papers off the table.
What was that?
Yeah.
Did you say really second date?
What has he done since then? Anthony Michael Head. That's his name.
Anthony Stewart Head. Anthony Michael
Hall.
I got this Anthony in the head.
Yeah. Thomas Michael Stewart Head.
What has he done since this?
Great question.
We know he did a Taster's Choice commercial before.
Yeah, I was going to say that's what he got picked up from, right? That Taster's Choice series.
Are you looking it up? What he's done since?
I just trust him so much, and I really.
He's very.
Just trust him so much.
I don't know why that was so funny. I just trust him so much.
He has the vibe.
I'd give him my Taster's Choice anytime.
He's very, very dadly, you know?
Yeah.
He's very calming. Well, while you look up Giles's
trajectory.
My God.
He's in Imagine Me and You.
What?
The other movie where Piper Parabo kisses a girl.
Oh.
The other
I knew
movie
that I had
Parabo
seen him in something.
Oh, my God. Sir. Oh my God!
He's
Piper
also
Parable
a Falcon,
Cersei Lannister.
Whoa!
That's what happens in that movie. And Giles is Cersei Lannister.
Yeah, wait, did you that? Yes, did you forget that? Yes,
I did. I forgot it. Yeah, we have to rewatch this.
And
she
dumps Ozymandias.
She does.
Spoiler alert for Cersei those of you Lannister. Who haven't seen Imagine Me and You.
How old is that movie? 20? It's 20 years old now.
Yeah,
2005.
Yeah, 20 years old.
But every day a new lesbian is born.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
They're just catching up. They have a lot to watch.
We only get like 5 movies. So. Rhea, don't say lesbian leaves a guy to be with a woman. Which movie?
It's pretty obvious that the comedy that's rated PG, Imagine Me and You, is going to end up happy. Anyway.
Okay, so where are we even in that?
Giles is practicing on a chair.
Giles is practicing on a chair, and then Cordelia enters.
Right.
I mean, like, whatever, they have their Giles thing, but then we go to the science fair.
Right. And she's all tomato, fruit, or vegetable.
Right.
Great question.
Also, Cordelia and Willow were kind of wearing the same outfit, but in, like, the Cordelia shape and the Willow shape.
That I missed. What did it look like?
It's just, like, the patterns of, like, Willow's shirt and Cordelia's dress are almost identical, but it's, like, a flowy lady dress and then, like, a nerdy collar.
Oh, and they both kind of look like 70s wallpaper.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very
That's
70s
true.
Wallpaper.
I was really happy to see Willow show up because I had a huge thing for her in high school, and I remember going and asking for her haircut, and then seeing it now, I realize that she doesn't have a haircut.
Yeah, she just has
you
hair.
You were asking for something else, but you didn't know how to ask for it, so you just said haircut.
Can you give me, it's like Willow's haircut. What does it look like? It goes straight down.
It does nothing.
It goes straight down and...
It's the
it's
length
hair.
That my hair currently
anyway.
Is.
It is very shiny, though. It is very shiny
really
and
herbal
shiny
essences.
Yeah, yeah, that's some shampoo commercial.
She predates
hair.
Herbal essences. Herbal essence or herbal essences?
Remember that? How their
herbal's
ad
essence.
Campaign
yeah.
was
just
people
orgasms.
Having showergasms?
Yeah, they're just orgasms.
Female pleasure.
It's back.
Yeah.
It's back in the shower. Well, no, the shampoo is back.
Oh, not the
orgasms, no.
Of course.
Never.
Damn it.
Yeah, it's back. It's
we
like
have that one brief
stores.
Moment.
Yeah. It's a good 2 years.
So they're at the science fair, right? And then creepy Eric comes with his camera. Yeah, it's so creepy, though. Like,
yeah,
I know that,
really
like,
gross.
Shit gets creepier.
The wink
but
in particular?
That kid was in a lot of stuff.
Really?
He was.
Yeah.
Really?
What else was he in?
I don't know, but.
Was he like, creepy in everything?
I mean, kinda, definitely. I will
he was like
say,
on Boy Meets World or something.
That situation of him showing up and just taking pictures of women without their permission is such a funny, like, I can't tell if the show was trying to comment on it moment where they were like, oh, it's fine. He's harmless. And I'm like, no.
But I feel because since it was the second time we had watched the episode and I knew what was coming next, like I knew that these were the guys that were totally violating lots of women.
Yeah.
All the time. I was like, oh, this seems like super intentional. Mm-hmm.
and kind of cool because I feel like they went out of their way to show that, like, Cordelia and Willow and Buffy were all like, what the fuck, dude? Like, yeah, nobody said you could take our fucking picture. Mm-hmm. It was a whole thing.
He was in Free Willy and the Wonder Years, and he was also in Inglourious Basterds.
Wow. The Wonder Years? Glorious I loved Bastards. That show. Speaking, are we allowed to say the patriarchy more than once?
I think we might be able to say it four times.
Oh, because there's four of us.
Yeah.
I've taken two already, but that one didn't count. This is the
that
second one.
That was a
one.
Question, yeah.
I was asking.
Murph is asleep, nose down.
Just, like,
he is passed out
into the
face
chair.
First on the chair.
We'll,
anyway,
we'll make sure
going.
To show you pictures
sure
of all. It's been
that.
Well documented. Yeah. Every time I say anything, everyone else in the room just continues to take Murph and my picture. Well, so I think new patriarchy moment here is we go to the graveyard, and I just want to know what everyone thinks of this because it's Buffy and Willow, and they're just sitting by the grave, and Giles and Xander are digging the grave, and Xander's like, if the femmes could pick up a shovel and, like, help us out here or whatever. And so, on the one hand, the scene is set up where the women are doing nothing and the men are digging. But on the other hand, Buffy is like, sorry, this is the role of women. You wanted it this way, so here I fucking sit. So I'm just wondering thoughts from the group on if this is, like, upending or doing bad things.
I have a very hard time finding anything in this show, like, being that offended by almost anything in this show, only because I've seen so much of it, and I know the intention of the whole thing is,
yeah.
And especially at the time, just mm-hmm. the idea that they were putting a woman kicking people in the face on television.
Yeah.
I mean, Xena was on, like, at the same time, I think. So there was, like, there were, like, a couple of shows where mm-hmm. it was like, women are kicking faces. But what's especially great about this show is that there's no victim because, like, literally the vampires disappear after she stakes them in the heart. So it's, like, it's very satisfying. And there's also, like, no sadness to be had because they're, like, terrible demons. And so, yeah, I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
And usually I'm extremely, like, hyper-vigilant and have a problem with everything.
Well, but there's that other end of it, you yeah. know? It's like, is it, if you're saying, I'm going to sit here and do my nails because that's what you said I was going to do, so now you shovel the grave? You know what I mean? Right?
And it's the way she's saying it, too, and her delivery and how yeah. much emotion yeah. really does do for the
right.
whole team.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, if the point of feminism is to create the space in women's lives for them to choose what they want to do, and a big part of that, like, recently... Right. A big part of what's been talked about around that is, like, it's also, you know, a woman's choice if she doesn't want to work. No. Mm-hmm. There's probably a better way to say all of that. But, you know, feminism here is, like, doing the work to make space for Buffy to make the choice of whether or not she participates in exhuming a potential body.
Right. And then she jumps in as the only one that'll open the casket anyway. So
yeah.
There's that. But...
Yo, oh my god, Cordelia's in the parking lot, and listen, yes. we have to talk about it, okay? Because first of all, she's like, we really have to practice our cheer, otherwise no one's gonna be led by them at the game. And listen, you weren't here for season 1, episode 3, when we first met the Sunnydale cheerleaders, but their only cheer is go Sunnydale go, go Sunnydale go Sunnydale go, 6, 7, 8, repeat.
They say 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that cheer appears here. I think they say Razorbacks now instead of Sunnydale.
They accidentally say Greenbacks, which is weird.
A real
they
mystery,
do
but they're
say,
supposed to be
they're
saying,
supposed to be
right,
saying Razorbacks.
Within this
yes.
universe, they're supposed to be saying Razorbacks. And we hear it later
go,
at the football
dollar
game.
Bills go.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I want to talk about the cheers, too, but I also want to just know for a second how many people in this room had those sneakers that Cordelia was wearing. They were the white Adidas sneakers with the three stripes on the side.
I didn't have them, but of course.
Were they Sheltos?
Were they Sheltos?
Oh, yeah. I had a pair of Sheltos.
I feel like
in
you still have some.
I don't have any Sheltos. Get out of here with that.
I think she's got some.
I believe
own
you.
A pair of Sheltos?
No, you. Yeah,
Jenny has
I
had
can't a, stand them.
Jenny had a pair of Sheltos that she did not wear forever. And I finally let them go.
R.I.P.
But, like, very recently.
Oh, man.
You didn't have Sheltos?
I can't wear Sheltos.
That surprises me.
No, No, I wore like sambas, Steve Madden.
If anything.
Oh, I did wear sambas.
Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah,
sambas are basically, yeah. I mean, they're related. They're in the same family.
That's great.
You were like, I would never wear shell top. Oh, I totally had sambas, yeah.
Yeah, I was like,
oh, that's a different thing. They're built for speed.
I also had docks. Yeah, you guys, docks. Well, yeah. I had docks. When I was a freshman, I had like platform Steve Martin loafers with like,
and by the way,
I also wore knee socks and a skirt every day to school. By the time I was a senior, I wore white steel toed platform lace up, like,
which you still
Doc
have.
Martens that were like illegal, like they were like
illegal.
They were illegal at your school,
illegal in Catholic school,
not dress code.
I just want to make sure that you know that you said Steve Martin and not Steve Madden.
I wore Steve Martin's shoes.
They were grossly oversized.
I wore Steve Martin's shoes and I killed him. No, I did see Steve Madden. I did see Steve Martin. You're right.
Yeah,
because that's how long it's been since I've worn any of those shoes. I forgot what they're called and I thought they were a movie star.
I just really, I want everyone to see some pictures of you in that phase of time.
It's the best.
You know?
It's the best.
Really special.
It's the best.
Yeah, do you have any? I've only seen you as a businesswoman.
Yeah, I was
in your teens.
Yeah. I've got so many great photos. I have to go do like an expedition to my parents' house.
I
got to
get mine too, and we got to like get our high school pictures together. You say all the time that we would have like dated each other.
Do you mean get our pictures together? You mean like take one picture of you, one picture of me, put them on top of each other, rub them back and forth?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
See and what your like, baby would look like?
Yeah, of course, that's
wham,
what I mean.
Wham, wham, wham,
wham. Wham, wham, wham. That's what I mean, yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Regal Cinemas. If you're anything like me, you deeply enjoy going to the movies. Going to the movies is probably among my top three all-time activities. I love seeing films on the big screen. I also love being around other people who are watching the same movie with me at the same time. And of course, I love eating giant buckets of popcorn. If you feel the same and you like going to the theater, Regal Unlimited is something that just makes sense. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass. It pays for itself in two movie visits. You can see any standard 2D movie anytime, no blackout dates, no restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in 4DX or IMAX or RPX or ScreenX, there's so many ways to watch movies these days, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And with Regal Unlimited, you don't only save money on the tickets, you will also save on your snacks. And as previously mentioned, I love snacks. The only thing that can make me love a snack more is saving money on buying a snack. Members get 10% off of all non-alcoholic concession items with membership. Regal Unlimited, all you can watch movie subscription pass. It pays for itself in two visits. So if you're planning to see two movies this month, join Regal Unlimited and sign up now. You can sign up in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. Sign up for Regal Unlimited using code BUFFERING and earn 10% off your 3-month subscription. Please let us know about all of the movies you see and how the popcorn is.
Hello, my name is Alison Larkin, and I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of the Jane Austen podcast. This podcast brings Jane Austen's stories to the 21st century, along with commentary from me and conversations with fascinating people who all share a love of Jane Austen. And of course, we had to start with none other than Pride and Prejudice. So join me as we embark on a journey through some of the most wonderful stories I know. The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, so Cordelia in her shell tops hides in the dumpster because she's afraid. It turns out it's just Angel who thinks that it was Buffy that he saw, which is weird.
What is he even there?
Like, he...
What is he
also seeing? He has like, he's lame lying.
Shoes. Also, I don't remember. How does Buffy meet Angel?
He just appears. He just follows her one day
and like gives
down
her a cross necklace.
And he's like, and the Hellmouth is a thing. What is it? The harvest.
What is he supposed to do?
He's fighting for good.
He's on Bones.
Okay. You know, he's like trying to atone for, you know, a couple hundred years of killing people. Right.
But like the reason he'd be at the high school is there's no reason.
It's where the Hellmouth is.
It's where the Hellmouth Slayer is.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So he's like sticking around to like help Sleuth. And he usually guides Buffy. I mean, from what we've seen so far, he'll be like, hey, this thing is happening. Just so you know, they're gathering. So like heads up on that. That's kind of his.
Also, a lot of that. I said it as we were watching, but his haircut.
Yes.
Is his last name Boreanaz? Is that how you say his name?
Boreanaz. Boreanaz. Right?
David Boreanaz, his haircut is... Why is that his haircut?
Also, only he could have that haircut.
How did it
happen? Like,
it's
very specific to his specific
it's
head.
Going yeah. down it's... and up, and it meets in the middle as sort of a crest.
I think it's all he can do. It's just like...
I do not believe it.
I think
it
he's like an owl, man.
On well, Bones. It looks... kind of normal.
What are you talking about? That's exactly what it looks like.
His hair still looks like that?
Yeah.
Really? I feel like it's
his
shorter
hair down
and more
and
like
up?
Adult. Than, okay.
Well,
than
Jenny
it was
has a
in
theory
Buffy.
On why his hair looks like this.
Which... I mean, in the universe of the show,
yes.
My theory is he's a vampire. He can't see his reflection. So he's trying something, but he has no way of knowing what the result is.
What's really funny about that is it's like, I think I always thought, like, maybe that a vampire can't see their reflection, but they can just see hair.
What? Like, their skin they can't see,
just
but their hair is an extension
hair.
Of
why?
Themselves.
What is the logic?
Did you just realize that that was your thought? Like, it didn't?
Yeah. And I think it's really funny.
Oh, my
imagine
God.
Imagine a little floating haircut. And then I guess the question is, can you see right through?
Also, wouldn't you be able to see your clothing? In your reflection?
Like the hollow
that's
man?
What I think.
Right?
I think you
oh,
can
it,
see
yeah,
your
like how does it become invisible
when it touches you? That doesn't make any sense.
Okay, I see like where you're at, but we can't know, I think is the thing.
Yeah, there's no answer, but just posing a question to the masses, yeah? The two of you, the way your faces look when Murph does something that you like is the sweetest thing.
I just don't know where he's going.
The proudest sure parents in all the land.
He's got a lot of exploring
to do.
And
now
he's ready
to
lay down.
Murph just wanted
out.
To make sure this was the best seat in the house.
Yeah. Is this
the softest
the warmest place?
It
yes,
is.
It is.
It is. Oh, no.
I'm back. God. He's back.
Okay. Listen. Should I even keep going through my points?
Yes.
Should I?
You're the guiding light we need.
Oh, boy.
Well, like, can we just talk about his dumb face when he, like, pops up when she's coming out of the dumpster?
Yeah.
What is the direction? He's, like, got this big, goofy smile on his face on the
know.
Side shot. And then when it's, like, sort of, like, the camera's directly facing him, he's still kind of smiling in, like, this, like, friendly way that doesn't make any sense. And, like, he's answering Cordelia's questions about why he was following her in, like, a very obtuse way.
Maybe it's because Cordelia is so pretty.
That's a great point.
That
also,
is a solid
the men
point.
In the show are giant.
So
compared to the women. Like,
yeah.
every...
Well, Sarah Michelle Gellar's about, like, 5 feet tall?
I guess she's super small. She's I mean, tiny. I don't know, but, like...
The last time I measured her,
also,
she was
all
feet.
Of the dudes that are in this specific, I don't know.
Are all like
they're
six.
They're
really
all, I mean, Xander
yeah.
and
they're
Angel
so
are huge.
Big.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then of course, the zombie dude
yeah.
is also huge.
But even like Giles is pretty big. Like, they're just, it's like,
yeah.
it looks like a Disney movie where the, like Moana,
yeah.
like all the ads for Moana, where like Moana is so teeny and then Maui, which is the character that's played by The Rock, is like, 8 times her size, and you're like, well, I feel like in real life, men and women are kind of similar sizes. Not in this universe either.
No, yeah, they're huge. Jenny was talking last week, too, about how somehow, even though Angel is huge and Xander is huge, that when Angel is with Buffy, it seems to look more proportionate. And when Xander and Buffy stand next to each other,
like when they're doing a sexy dance together,
yeah,
for
maybe
example,
that's why it looks so awkward.
It just looks wrong. He looks straight. He looks like a
yeah.
bean.
I would like to give a special shout out to Cordelia for her scream. She has a few in the episode.
But the dumpster one is a real winner.
The dumpster one, I actually, if I'm going to rank her screams, I actually think that the scream where she's on the table and she's like, I promise not to scream. And then she screams. Actually wins out for me in my horror scream ranking. But she gets her first really good scream in the dumpster. And it, like, is paired with, like, a, you know, big motion. I know you couldn't see that, audience, but I was moving my hands to the side of my face. But, yeah, Cordelia gets a good scream. And there's going to be a lot of moments for this, but, like, we have a lot to talk about. So I just want to make sure that we show our love for Cordelia. Okay.
Now's the time.
It's a great point.
Now's the time.
Cordelia.
Great.
Okay.
All right. What do you got, okay. Jenny?
What do I have? I'm so glad you asked. We go to the library just after Angel has pulled Cordelia and a bunch of body parts out of a dumpster, right? Mm-hmm. And this is, I think, where we have no choice but to award the sexual tension trophy to Angel and Xander, because they're all Angel. Xander.
Right. They have a Rocky Horror Picture Xander. Show moment.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So if you're comfortable with that, I'd really like to give it to them.
I had written it down. I had written down the obvious answer, which was Giles and Jenny Calendar.
No.
But I defer
second place. Second place. So maybe Angel can pawn the trophy we just gave him and buy a new jacket, because that jacket is all... Yeah, wrong for his coloring.
Horrible.
It's not right.
Especially, but really trying to signal spring? Like, is that, what season are we in?
I don't know. Or maybe because he's paired
There's
with
a lot
Cordelia.
Of
yeah.
But if they're trying to make him look more like.
Get a new jacket, can he bring Xander? Because Xander needs smaller clothes.
Xander's clothes are huge, but do you remember the 90s?
I know, but it's like so funny.
Xander
is
basically who I'm talking about when I'm like, the clothes are huge. Yeah, it's like a lot, and then he's like putting a messenger bag on top of it.
Oh, that is the classic.
Cinched across his chest.
You wore your clothes proportionally to you, the same size.
No,
to him.
Not in high school.
Did you have a messenger bag?
I did before that. Yeah, before that. In high school, I tried to, and I was like, I don't care about school. Why do I have a bag?
Right.
And then
this is a crazy.
Straight up, I never did homework. I don't know how. I honestly don't know how I graduated high school.
Did you get good grades or did you get not good grades?
No, I got terrible grades in high school. I did not care.
Okay.
I was like a smart kid. I did really well, and then I just stopped caring.
Right.
Well, it's because you didn't have anything to focus you like.
Parents.
Vampires.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I needed one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are vampires.
Parents are vampires. So we go to the Epps household for like 5 seconds, and we see Chris come out of his danger, do not enter door, and like say goodbye to his mom, who's just watching endless clips of Daryl play football and smoking cigarettes and not paying attention to anything. Very sad.
Yeah, take it back.
The word sad.
You can't say it anymore.
Yeah, we're not allowed to use it anymore, right?
No, it's horrible.
Okay, it's really too bad.
There's a lot of words that have been taken from us.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Also, the thumbs up. Can't really do that anymore.
God, Jesus.
Anyway.
The saddest part of the podcast was the collective sighs of all four of us.
So we finally get a look at what Chris and Eric have been working on, which is, of course, a bunch of pieces of lady corpses sewn together.
Lady corpses.
Cameron got so bummed out.
Yeah, Cameron, you were upset about this for a long part of the episode. Why does it have to be many women? Why do they have to be sewn together? Why couldn't anyone just date one woman that was woman?
It's kind of funny.
But he talks about it. He does answer the question. It just takes a long time for you to get to the answer.
What?
The reason why they're sewing the bodies together and not just using like one dead person that they're reanimating is because they want her to be just as terrifyingly undesirable
right.
as him.
So they'll
so
hide
that
together,
they can
right.
fall in love because Ew. They both never want to go.
So
outside.
What is my follow up to this?
Yeah.
Here's my follow up to this. Okay, yeah, cheers. But like
no,
they're also making it very difficult on themselves. Like just take one woman and then
Cut maybe. Her up.
She's a reanimated
dead guy.
She's gonna be terrified.
Unnecessary scarring. All of that.
So much
face
time.
Tissue.
What
that's
had happened to his face? Because he was in a rock climbing accident.
Yeah.
How did his face get so? Yeah,
he must have fallen
also,
on his face.
Can I just say, and I apologize to point out something on a show that people love, but I always find it takes me out of it when there's like a
Frankenstein monster?
No, yeah. When there's vampire. No. When there's like multiple deaths at a high school and people are like, what? Like they didn't hear about
it. Was a different
it.
High school.
Oh, well, here's...
But he's... Daryl's playing for that team in the...
No, it was Sunnydale High School, but here's the thing about...
No, the different high school where the girls went
yes,
to.
The
yes,
the girls.
But you're bringing up Daryl.
But yes, but also, yes, okay, but I remember hearing about, I mean, like, some... Three girls get killed in a car accident in a neighboring high school. You're going to know about it when it happens.
Unless you live on a hellmouth.
Of course.
And people are dying all the time.
That's creating that thing. But I was saying globally, anything, right, any show that ever does this, it always takes me out of it. Like, come on. They don't need the microfiche to figure this out. They knew when it happened.
I think the first episode of the whole series, there's like a dead guy in a locker that like falls out onto somebody else. And then like the next scene is them all, you know, in the hallway or like outside. And they're like, yeah, they canceled gym. And like the first episode, we were like, seriously? Like, that's it? There's like, a dead
canceled
person.
Gym.
But then every episode.
If they closed school every time a high school student died, like they'd be in.
Yeah, they dropped like
full
flies
year round.
Over there.
But there's no like larger governmental.
No.
Police.
Sort of no, police are never
kind.
Called.
No, it's a whole thing.
Never called.
Very strange.
We've actually
like,
written that
weird.
Into some
it's
of the
It's always
songs.
Been figured out.
Sort of
so.
Like an investigation of some kind about some sort of ring.
No, and like Buffy is always like breaking, like if because police are never seen, but there are sometimes like caution tape or like things that, and she's always like just pushing it aside or like going directly to the crime
right
scene
it.
And like touching everything. It's just it's Sunnydale High School, you know? Yeah. But I also do hear you, Rhea.
Yeah, it's just like a funny, I noticed it in this and then I was like, this happens all the time. It's like this funny TV concept.
Yeah, because if a person dies in high school, that's a big...
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
You know what else is a big deal?
What, Jenny?
Giles and Ms. Calendar are going to the big game.
Oh my
and
God.
It's a date. And also, Ms. Calendar says like one of my favorite jokes in the whole series, which is... Please call me Jenny. Ms. Calendar is my father. What a great,
great
joke.
I love it so much.
It's a great joke. Also, she's pretty hot.
She's... Do you know?
So, the last person who sat in that chair and said that was Gabby Dunn.
Literally. She was like, she is so pretty.
Sense. Yeah, that does make sense. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Just look at her go.
She's very...
What does she teach?
She's the computer lab teacher, and she's also a techno-pagan?
Oh, yeah, techno-pagan.
Earlier in the series, she helped them get a demon off of the internet that had been scanned in.
She's a lady who knows what's what. She knows how to work a computer.
She loves
ask a guy
casting
out.
Bones.
Hot belt.
Yes, the hottest of all belts on Jenny Calendar.
And she loves sports. She loves football because it's so rugged.
She had that whole, like, she has, like, a whole monologue. Not a monologue.
About
but, like,
American sports.
Yeah, where she's like, it doesn't have
the grace of basketball
or the poetry of baseball.
Do you relate to that?
I do relate to that, actually. I was like, wow, that's pretty right on.
Yeah.
Are you team Jenny Calendar?
Apparently, yeah, when it comes to sports.
But yeah, I love their whole, this is really it for them. I mean, this is a big episode for Giles and Jenny Calendar because they've just been like, you know, stepping around the issue of liking each other.
Right, and now they've
gone on their first date.
Oh my God. Also his hop, his little victory hop.
Yes.
After he's like, that went well. I did nothing, but somehow we're still going on a date. Victory hop.
So great.
Really nice.
Also, I just loved how she like poked her head back out of the classroom door. She was like, I have to go to class. But then she came back out anyway.
And she was like, not
also,
really.
First date? And I'm going to say something that, just maybe the blandest food.
You mean don't go Mexican on the first date?
I think don't Mexican. I would also say like Maybe no,
like just go get a hot pretzel.
No, like pasta with a ton of garlic. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
just get yourself a hot pretzel.
Yeah, just a exactly. Just a slice of bread, slice of toast.
I don't know.
Auntie Annie's, is that what it's called?
Yeah, but we had Hot Sam's where I was growing
up.
Back in the 80s and early 90s.
I don't think so.
And
it predated Auntie M's. Auntie M's is like a new thing that people, when I was in high school, went and worked there and would bring us pretzels the next morning.
Yes.
And we would eat like disgusting, soggy, just like drop a soggy, wet bread bag on the table.
Did you have pretzel time? Is that a thing that everybody had?
Oh yeah.
Because I had friends that worked at Pretzel Time, but that's like
Pretzel Time and
high
Hot
school.
Sam's are like the same company, and had different.
Pretzel
I'm pretty
time
sure.
And Hot Sam's.
Hot Sam's is a goddamn thing. If you keep arguing with me on this, we're getting a divorce.
This is what's weird about this is that one of them is so obvious what it is. Pretzel Time. The other one, it's like, what is this?
You know what I would say when I went to Hot Sam's? Do you know what this is?
I'll have a Hot Sam.
It's pretzel time.
Oh. I thought maybe they called the pretzels Hot Sam.
That would make more sense.
Right? Then, I'd love a Hot Sam. But I had friends who worked at Pretzel Time, and I would, since that day that they began working or telling me what they did at Pretzel Time, I don't think I have purchased a pretzel from a place like that, because they were disgusting horrible high school students who would like kill a fly with the pretzel and then wrap it up. And I know.
What the fuck?
You guys, it's totally a thing.
Oh my God.
I put in Hot Sam's and pretzels auto-populated. So.
Wow.
Well, I think
it's like a real thing.
Even the images that pop up just kind of look
fake.
Technopagan
planted that on the internet.
Yes. Yo, so. When we do get a look at Daryl, I just want to make a note.
This was the most traumatic moment for Cameron.
It was Daryl's
first
Cameron.
Look.
He was spooky at first. Yeah, I didn't like him very much.
Were you at all disturbed by his posture, which is just sort of like if whatever you would call like the central sort of oval, if you were drawing a really simple human shape, his torso, I guess, is sort of like a couple inches ahead of the rest of his body. His like legs are back.
Coming
and
in
his
early?
Arms,
you mean?
Yeah, coming in. He kind
of,
I don't know if you guys watch New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest, but Fergie is always the Hollywood host, and she kind of stands the same way.
Yeah, she does. She really does. Oh God, I love her so much.
I walk like that. Which.
Do you think you walk like Daryl?
Not
sweetheart?
Like Daryl, but I walk like
Chet torso
I walk
first.
Wrong. I because if I ever am walking a lot and then I look and I'm like, oh God, I look like I'm about
he
to
has,
fall
like,
over.
That actor, God bless him, because I say this and it's gonna be kind of mean, but that person has that person has real wacky fingers.
I didn't notice it the first time.
Yeah,
and this
yeah.
time I did.
Because I don't want to go too hard on Daryl. Because there's a real person behind that. Yeah. But that person has wacky fingers.
But how much of that is like?
I don't think it's prosthetics. I think that's that person's fingers.
Yeah, they were like, we don't have
very,
to do anything.
Very
there.
Big, very big,
and like short and square.
Very big.
Yeah,
very big hands. You know, there's a sport at my home in my hometown of Chicago that's called 16-inch softball, where you have a really soft ball and no mitts, and you catch it with your hands.
Oh, and
this guy's got some 16-inch softball hands, is what I would say. There's a certain type of guy who can catch those balls really easy.
Do you know what was? Sorry, I don't. I would love to keep talking about Daryl's hands forever. But the thing that occurred to me also watching this was why. So the mother is upstairs. And she's devastated. It's very depressing. It's very sad. She's just smoking cigarettes and watching, you know, reliving. But why haven't they told her that Daryl's alive in the basement? I don't understand.
Great question.
She's a great candidate for fully accepting
them. Why?
Yeah, she
why
is,
don't
I agree.
They
she's
just
already
set
lost
the
it.
Two of them up
right?
on some couches
yes.
and let them hang out,
they'd
watch
have
football.
A great life watching Daryl's best moments.
Yeah.
It's what Daryl wants. It's what she wants.
You're right.
Also,
I'm sorry,
I
he
really
wants a
don't
date,
like basements, but, so yeah. I really don't like that she doesn't know he's down there.
Yeah,
I really don't like that.
Where do you think, do you have a route for this? Like your basement fear?
Basement?
Did you have a scary basement? Like,
don't you know what the root of all basement fears are? That's where murdering happens? are you kidding?
No, I'm not suggesting...
the fact that you would even have to ask.
I'm not suggesting that basements aren't terrifying, but, like, you get especially scared. And, like, have you just always gotten especially scared?
Well, yeah. I mean, I had a basement in my house, and I've just never been able to see my entire life very well, and so I think it was really spooky. Right, but right, also, right. I don't know. Every show and TV and movie has... very bad basements.
That's in true. It. Nothing good ever happens
very
in the
bad
basement.
Basements.
No, I mean, that's like
very
prime
bad basements.
Prime horror spot is a basement.
Dislike it a lot and can't even process it. And thank God in California almost somebody has basements.
When you when you go, like, when you travel, because you travel a lot and you're in a hotel room, do you have to check, like, under the bed and in the shower and stuff? Like,
why wouldn't you check under the bed and in the shower?
I know
you,
you
have
to
check.
We're married. I'm asking our guests. What
sorry, it's
do.
Just common fucking sense.
Definitely. I also check the closet.
Yeah.
The
closet. Okay. What about you, Rhea? Do you check anything?
No, I don't check anything.
Yeah, me either.
But now,
nobody
speaking
in there?
Of which, well, I haven't checked anywhere in your house.
Well, we're all here.
What an elaborate ruse for you to kill me.
That would be a great plot twist. I'm like, so do you normally check the closet?
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Are you how scared you get?
No, like, seriously, I'm so scared. When I went to see Blair Witch with my high school boyfriend, we were driving home and he was trying to kiss me and I was like, I just remember this moment where he was like trying to kiss me and he looked out the window and I was like, who's out there? The witch? The witch out there? I know you're in on it! And then I just got out of the car and went in my house.
Oh my God. Were you laboring
witch.
Under the...
The witch.
The one.
The one.
Were you laboring under the idea that it was real? When you saw it, did you think maybe it was real?
Well, we all did, yeah, because the internet
wasn't real.
Blair Witch, right.
Yeah.
I was like, I forgot where we started. Yes. So I was like, what was real? The witch? What did we think? What did we all think was real?
I thought but I also kind of thought everything was real.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of
mm-hmm.
still do.
Also, I just want to say, like, I very much understand the fear. I'm really sorry that I looked directly at you and pretended like there was something in the closet because that would freak me out. And last night, so my sister and I, we scare very easily and are very weird people. And last night, something happened with the TV. They were over our house and the Apple TV rebooted. And because our actual television is from, like, 1970 or whatever, I don't know what happened, but a loud static just started happening and my sister, like, jumped from the couch and, like, buried her entire head in my torso and I was, like, with her. I, like, covered her ears and was like, it's okay, it was nice to have you as a sister. And Jenny and her boyfriend Brian were like, what is wrong with you? We were, like, 100% convinced that we were dying. And we were going to be killed.
Tensions are high these days.
Yeah.
Tensions are just a little high. Just a little stressed out. Hey, remember when kids used to hide under their desks?
I don't know.
For real, I feel like I'm just doing that all the time.
Yeah, that's our new life.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got excited. Not about it, but just, like, that we have people here who also hate the world. So our episodes air on Wednesdays, and we're all feeling a lot of pressure building because we're getting closer and closer to this thing actually happening. And Jenny and I, we don't talk about politics or the world a lot directly on the podcast because, like, we like to give people a place to escape these things. But that said, we have talked a little bit about how things like science fiction and, you know, a show like Buffy is really important and kind of takes on new meaning in times like this. I wonder, especially Cameron, because you have a relationship with the show and, like, with the genre, if there's anything, and Rhea, I don't mean to take you out of the question, but, like, if there are any touchstones for you guys that are, like, either helping you because they're like, fuck yeah, we can fight and we can win, or if they're just, like, taking you away and, like, letting you, you know, breathe for a moment.
That's so great. You know, well, I stopped a couple of years ago. I stopped being able to watch action movies as much because...
we both did.
Yeah.
Because we used to have a podcast about it.
We used to have a podcast about action movies because we both love action and sci-fi movies. But then... as, like, this is a very serious thing I'm going to say, but as gun violence started to become in the news constantly here in the U.S., I just felt like I could no longer contribute money to something that felt like I was watching things that really happen and real people get harmed. And so,
and it was also difficult to be seeing these things in the news and being aware of what's going on and then watching this movie and it's happening.
It doesn't transfer like anymore.
Yeah. Entertainment. And it wasn't feeling like it was, you know, it was feeling like, oh, this is just silly entertainment. And I was like, I'm watching actual, this happen to actual people every
day. Yeah. And so I have had this sort of like hole in the things that I appreciate because I haven't found the right things often of late. And one thing that I really loved was The Force Awakens, because it's like such a hopeful story and it has a lot of great female characters. We also saw Rogue One, and I liked Rogue One less, but I think both of those movies and then the original 4 through 6 of Star Wars have been sort of giving me a little bit more hope is the word lately, because both on camera and off camera, you know, we just watched the HBO documentary on Carrie Fisher's life last night and with her mom and
Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Reynolds, and it's called Bright Lights. That's really inspiring because it's amazing to see what somebody can do with the focus that she got being in those movies. And then also, what I think Star Wars is trying to do is celebrate like peace and finding peace inside of yourself and finding peace inside of others. There is still violence, obviously, in these movies. And what I also love is that there are like female characters. Some.
Yeah.
There's still like only like 7 in a universe of the universe.
But there's,
yeah.
But there's some.
But there's some.
Yeah.
So that's something that I've really found is like helpful lately.
Yeah.
I also would recommend, a lot of people watched it right after everything. But the movie Arrival was really a really great science fiction story for like getting along with people and like what talking can do, you know, understanding.
It's like the same thing. It's really about
peace. About like the force and understanding each other. And then also the movie Hidden Figures, which is not sci-fi, but it's about science.
It's just sci.
Exactly. It's straight sci, up sci. Non-fi. And just seeing that, and something that like, there's a lot of things that struck me about that movie. Something else that I've been thinking too, because I was just thinking about it and who it's about and all of this. And like, obviously these women's stories weren't told for multiple reasons, but the fact that it's like, well, I didn't know anybody that was, I mean, I knew the astronauts because everybody cares about the astronauts, but I would never think, oh, there were, you know, these tons of black women doing this. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier. Your brain is trained to just think like, oh, well, it's just a bunch of white dudes.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
And so those stories are making me really happy because they are just telling a story. And I think that's what we need to do, is just tell each other stories and remind each other that, hey, we're all just people, and the things we're trying to talk about are just our experiences.
And that
in
we
our
were
lives.
There then. I mean, I'm not a black woman, but I'm a queer woman, and I feel like our history is erased. And it's nice to look back and see moments where there were people that we don't tell their stories.
Yeah,
because it makes me think, oh, maybe I was there. Maybe there were people like me there.
Right. And the more that we hear and uncover it, it's like the more we know we were there, and then we get to know we are here. And then we can still do that shit.
This show does that too. I mean, there's a lot of amazing female characters in this show.
Not you mean Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yeah. Not a ton of racial diversity, did cover a
lot
of
white
other
people
things.
In Sunnydale. Yeah. A lot.
Interesting, though, obviously, to 2017 standards, it doesn't hold up. But I am just saying, even though the show is all white people, there are people of color in the background, which. Mm-hmm. Is something, saying something, that there are people, you know, because I've watched shows even, like, that are coming out now, it's all white people in the background.
Right.
And it's very glaring, and you're like, how did this happen?
Yeah. Right.
What is this?
And we've seen a couple.
Did you?
We had, like, was it last week that the head vampire, was it last week?
Yeah, absolutely.
The head vampire was a black man, but not a lot.
Yeah, it's not
a
lot.
There's a little bit. There's a little bit. Well, thanks for sharing that. I know that wasn't super on episode, but on topic with Buffy. Yeah. I mean, I'm finding that this rewatch for us is really helping me too.
It's just nice to see. You said something when she kicked. Oh, I think I wrote it down. Hold on. I wrote down a couple of Cameron quotes. She has a whole fresh body, but that's, we'll get to that.
Well, she does. Just use Cordelia.
You said something about
so weird to cut the head off and put it on the old thing.
Well, there was a really nice moment in a little while when Buffy catches a knife that Eric throws.
That's
and
the
Cameron
moment.
Said,
oh, she's cool all the time. Yeah, there it is. She's cool all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She is.
She is. She's a fighter.
Cool all
she's
the
always
time.
Kicking ass. And she's fallible, which makes her cool even cooler, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
That she like makes mistakes and she fucks up, but then she's still like, funk, get your knife, motherfucker.
Oh, and they're also real friends. Like this episode is a bad example of that, but I love in other episodes that they also have like real friendships with each other and have like real high school problems because that's also cool to see in this show. They could have just like skipped it and had them constantly fighting a zillion things, but
which really was this episode. It was kind of an anomaly to the rest of what we've seen so far. Usually there's more, I don't know,
dimensions.
Yeah,
maybe Giles got the
Giles really got
the B story.
That's true. Ugh, yeah, Giles deserves a little love in his life.
He at least gets to sit next to a girl and talk to her for 5 seconds before Xander and Willow show up and start eating their popcorn.
Yes. I just want to backtrack for 1 second because I don't want to miss this moment. When Cordelia first gets kidnapped, like when they put the bag over her head and she's right. And I mean, she doesn't get kidnapped. She gets bagged. and then Buffy saves her. And, you know, you're like, wow, Cordy, you just made it. And then she's like, I've got to go. I'm the apex.
You know? Right, of the midfield pyramid.
She just totally shakes it off and is like, got to go.
Got to go.
There's just like a pile of...
And so then I guess what does happen to that pyramid?
Yeah, then the pyramid, right?
So we never find out.
We don't know.
And that's
it's
really
just got a flat top to it.
It's a flat top. The old flat top
pyramid.
Table mountain.
Table Mountain.
Anyhow, now you can go back on where you were. I just, you know, I'm a big Cordelia.
No, it's, well, speaking of Cordelia, how about the anatomical illustration with the photograph of Cordelia's head
and
affixed?
It fits so perfectly.
It does.
What are the odds?
How did they do it?
Also, I love that they have not only a lab, but a dark room.
Yes.
Right? They fully develop those photos.
It is making me vom to think about what must have been underneath that
sheet.
I understand, guys. I understand this is not the scariest thing in the entire world, but okay, let's do real talk.
Okay,
they
don't
have
laying
like
there on the
locker.
Table, mm-hmm. and then they're like, this might hurt a little. You're gonna feel a little pinch around your neck or whatever, and then they like flip up the thing, and then you just see a headless bod, and then you're like, oh no, I'm the head. That's the worst.
Yeah.
I feel like in real life you'd be like, blah, blah, just vomiting.
Just
like, passing out, foaming everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Also, I know why they did this, because like they were building like the ideal girlfriend for the football player, but they really went out of their way to make sure you knew that they had chosen the bustiest.
Yeah.
Like middle portion of the three girls. Like the sheet was like totally flat except for giant boobs.
Oh my god, I hate also, not to skip way ahead, but at the end of the episode, Buffy's like, so why'd you do it or whatever, to and then he's like, well, because my brother always protected me and I felt like I had to bring him back. And I really feel like he really skated on by, because I do not agree that this is a good way to deal with grief.
He got to be like the normal kid who just got caught up in grief.
What was Eric getting out of all of this? And why was he like so into it?
I think he just had a boner the whole time.
Yeah, we did hear about his porn collection briefly, so... he was the creep.
Not that there's anything wrong with porn.
No,
and
but
that was, you know, but porn shaming, was that necessary?
Him being really into porn is gross.
Is a bummer.
Yes. Exactly. Precisely.
He's not into it for the right reasons. He has no respect.
I really want them to both get the help they need.
They need some counseling, for sure.
Well, what happened? Oh, yeah, they do save Eric.
What's going to happen to Eric? And also, you guys, sorry to pull apart this episode now, but it's just falling apart. It's just, it's unspooling right in front of me. Because the brother dies in a rock climbing accident. Did he dig his brother up? Is that what we're to believe? That he dug him up out of his grave?
Yeah, I think that's all that we have to work with.
Yeah, and the weird thing about that is that, like, okay, so
he didn't need a new head?
Right, that's a great one, that he didn't need a new head. Good
because
point.
They were talking about the formaldehyde.
So he must have done it very quickly. Or...
So he did it as soon as he fell down. So here's my other follow-up question.
Oh my God, you're dead. Hang on. Let me put you back together.
Did he have this research done in the past?
Right.
He was really good at science.
I mean, he is a science.
Which means you can bring people back from the dead.
These are
He's really good at science
things.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. These are unrelated things.
And then he has like
a book. Like,
I think
because the whole thing is about like there's time
Why do they
requirements.
Have that book
they're like
in that
really
town.
Stressed out about right, how they gotta get stuff done real fast, but then it's unclear. It's unclear.
And then he's like just kind of moping around a little bit.
Yeah, and these boys, they need.
It definitely smells in there.
And you know what? I have a feeling, based on my knowledge of Sunnydale High School, they're not going to get the help they need.
That sounds right.
I think
and
they'll
then
be
I
right
also
back.
Say the old science lab?
Yeah.
That was at the school, though?
Yeah, supposedly that was at the school.
So there's a new science lab, and then the old science lab is so infrequently maintained by any staff. Or sort of maintenance person.
That you can exist. Build a Frankenstein.
Yeah. I think there's actually the same abandoned science building in Jennifer's body.
Oh, no.
Oh, you probably haven't seen that because it would scare you.
Well, don't you have a relationship with Jennifer's body?
Well, Diablo Cody went to my high school.
It's a weird thing to come up.
The skirt that Jennifer is wearing on the cover of Jennifer's body is our uniform skirt.
Wow. Wow.
It was a random thing to bring up.
Yeah, wow. Can you believe
did you
it?
Know that in advance?
That was maybe buried. I did know that somewhere, but not actively. Yeah. I
you
really
do
was
talk
just
about
thinking,
it all the time.
I do. Why wouldn't I? It's the weirdest.
I know. It's weird.
So what's in the... So in the basement is where they keep him, but at the science lab is where they're building her.
How did they... Who drove the car also? You know what I mean? Anyway, the other question I would have is... The brother who's like at the end talking to Buffy, Chris, I got away from me or whatever. So he's just lost his brother again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's
it would feel like maybe he would be sad.
Yeah. They gave it that one dramatic moment with the fire where he was like trying to get there, but he couldn't and he had to let him go.
But then, you know, he's still actually dead now.
Right.
He hasn't been dead.
Right. And now he is really actually
he's
dead.
Now he's dead.
Daryl! I do love that his character's name is Daryl.
Yeah.
That just really gives it an extra touch.
I'm Daryl! So grossed out by this.
I appreciate the sacrifice that you made to be on this podcast.
Yeah, so brave.
Grossed out.
Yeah, and not intentionally, but we seem to have picked the episode that I think might have been one of the worst for you.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Truly.
There's like basements and then the head and everything.
How about Daryl climbing, like going, running back into the fire and climbing on top of the headless, sewn together corpse bits and whispering, "We'll be together forever.
Yeah.
You're mine."
Well, I mean, to give Daryl a little credit, he's a reanimated.
Yeah. He's not operating probably with full
faculties. No, let him go.
But
let him have his...
Do you think he's scared of himself?
Yeah.
I feel like I would be so creeped out.
Yeah. He doesn't want to go outside. He doesn't want to. I know we have to talk about Angel and Buffy. It's important.
I saw the fire and figured you'd be here.
Right? What is he doing?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I just feel like the... I just feel like he's not him in this episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a little off.
Like, he's written...
It's confusing, like, whether or not he can fly. Do you know what I mean? I know he can't fly, but his name is Angel and he always pops up. So I just feel like that might
You're
be
not
a
totally
secret
convinced.
Part.
Maybe.
Right.
He's always, like, kind of running into the...
Yeah.
Also, he's, like, supposed...
Shaking off a little bit.
His history is that he's an incredible, like, warrior vampire. Like, he's one of the strongest vampires of all time. And yet, the whole episode opens where, like, this dinky vampire comes out of the ground.
Oh my God, he runs right into the
into the shovel. He just gets knocked out with the fucking shovel like that. Like, what?
Maybe he got thrown off because he had to wear a fucking beige windbreaker. Sorry.
Yeah, that's true. No.
Beige windbreaker is a problem, always.
Rhea, do you have any do you have anything you want to share after your I mean, this is a big deal. This is a big moment for you.
No, I enjoyed the show. I had a great time watching it. It was fun time traveling back to that time in my life. Yeah. Trying to think of all the times when I would see, like, you know, bumpers for Buffy during other things of, like, what's next on Buffy?
Right.
So that was really fun.
I feel we're tied together forever now.
Yeah, for sure.
That we can say that we were with you.
Remember this forever.
The first time.
The first time I watched Buffy and the first time my dog wore a hat that was a promotional item with a candle. A hat that was designed to fit on a candle fit on my dog. So, pretty great day.
Great all
around. All in
all. Win-win.
I feel fantastic.
Well, thank you both for being on our podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here.
It's been really great to have you.
Oh, yeah, so great. You know, we have a podcast that's called Put Your Hands Together.
Yeah.
If anybody liked listening to us here, you could hear us do stand up there.
I have a feeling we'll probably talk about Buffy next week. I mean, it's like in our brains. We'll probably talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, as long as...
Yeah.
Well, you better now.
Yeah, we're all going to come waiting for Buffy.
Yeah, awesome.
Come on over.
Cheers.
Also, I feel like you probably already know this, listeners, but Rhea and Cameron have a show. Rhea and Camera have a show.
Fucking fantastic show.
Fantastic show. Thank you. Called Take My Wife.
You're going to see it on CISO.
And you should see it on CISO.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Stop cheating yourselves out of a fantastic viewing experience. Start living your best life.
It's important. You'll thank us. Or you're saying, we've already seen it. Of course we've seen it.
Watch it again!
Yeah, watch it again.
But yeah, so and thank you for all the things you do, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you guys.
You're doing great work. It's nice to be in the room with two humans doing badass work out there, you know?
Yeah.
I'm holding my fists in the air.
You're
<Vera. laughs>
So before we go, we like to wolf howl out, and we were wondering if you would wolf howl with us.
Sure.
Great.
I can't wait to see what Murph's gonna do for this.
Yeah. Well, before we howl, I'm going to tell you that I'm Jenny Owen Youngs, and when I'm not watching Buffy, I'm usually writing and recording songs. You can learn more about me at jennyowenyoungs.com/buffering, and you can give me a shout on Twitter at Jenny Owen Youngs.
And I will tell you that I'm Kristen Russo, and you can find me over on Twitter at Kristen Noeline, KristinNoeline. When I'm not podcasting with my wife, I work to bring advice, resources, and laughter to LGBTQ young people and their families over at everyoneisgay.com and mykidisgay.com.
Buffering the Vampire Slayer is on Twitter and Facebook at BufferingCast. And you can email us at bufferingthevampireslayer@gmail.com. Also, in case you missed it, we've got a whole album out now of Season 1 songs. And you can find that currently on iTunes and wherever you get your digital music.
If you like what we do, and you probably do, right?
Safe bet.
You can support our work now on Patreon. Just head over to patreon.com/bufferingcast. You can get all sorts of fun rewards and prizes and extra things, and it's a really great time over there. So go check it out.
Okay. Until next time.
Oh!
Murph's ears went all the way out.
He was into it.
Murph, you like the wolf howl.
What's up with this grave? You know, yesterday it had a girl in it, but now she's away. They're using her parts and other girls' parts. Could this be more disgusting? Ah, Cordelia found parts. When Daryl was in high school, he played football till he fell from some rocks and died. Then his science nerd brother brought him back to life. Now he's looking for a zombie bride. Yeah. Eric's a dick. These dudes are so sick.
They just need a head to finish, and Cordelia's their pick. So during the game, they whisked her away. But the abandoned science building will soon be in flames. When Daryl was in high school, he played football till he fell from some rocks and died. Then his science nerd brother brought him back to life. So he's looking for a zombie bride. One nice thing that happened today, Giles and Jenny Callender went on a date. Hope they do it again. Well, you know what they say, librarians and techno-pagans always find a way. When Daryl was in high school, he played football till he fell from some rocks and died. Then his science nerd brother brought him back to life, but he'll never have a zombie bride. And Cordelia's still alive. Hey
there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.